Hi, this is Ralph Lawler. Welcome to the Law of the Jam podcast.
What's up, everyone? It's the Law of the Jam, the podcast. I'm Chapon, coming to you as always with Rob. How's it going, Rob?
I don't know how you have that much energy after watching that game.
You know what? I saw Jason Preston and Amir Coffey play basketball.
And it was not pretty.
The Los Angeles Clippers lost 122-99 to the Cleveland Cavaliers, a Cavs team that was pretty much completely healthy out there, aside from Kevin Love, who I was told was playing, but then he didn't play. So
he was a very late scratch.
Yeah, so they not that they needed that. He probably didn't need to play. Once he saw the Clippers roster, they probably were like, yeah, take the night off. The Clippers played without Reggie Jackson, Robert Covington, Paul George, Kawhi Leonard, Marcus Morris, pretty much a starting rotation, you know, and John Wall, who also exists. Yeah. And they lost this game pretty easily. Nico Batum only played 6 minutes. None of the regular rotation guys were over 21 minutes. Luke Kennard also only played 9 minutes. So I mean, there's not terribly much, Rob, to take out of this game. If you would take much out of this, and reminder for everybody, and I'm sure if you're on Clipper Twitter or anything, there's not a back-to-back in February. There's two back-to-backs, one in early March on the 2nd and 3rd at Golden State and at Sacramento, and another one against a couple of probably not-so-great teams, 18th, 19th, Orlando and Portland, and then the Clippers end the season against Portland and Phoenix, a home and then away. And hopefully those last two games won't matter too much. So no back-to-backs in February. So this will be the last time, hopefully, that we deal with this sort of thing. If you don't follow the pod, we generally do a pod after the second game of a back-to-back. So we kind of knew yesterday that this pod might not be the most vibrant, but we're excited to talk about yesterday's game. We might as well touch on this game. Rob, what, if anything, did you take from this game today?
Absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
The Clippers didn't play almost any of their guys. I had nothing. None of the young guys did anything that was particularly interesting to me. It's all garbage time. I would care more about their G League performances than their performances in this game, even though, I mean, the Cavs were playing like, you know, NBA level players the entire game, so the quality of competition is technically higher. I mean, this game was absolutely over after, you know, the first quarter and a half, I guess. Like halfway through the second, they were down 25. It was over. So, I take zero away from this game. Outside of the fact that the Clippers were totally fine sacrificing this one, I think it was the right call. I'm a little surprised they didn't even put in a token effort to win. I mean, I guess the starting lineup, like, theoretically had enough players to maybe make it a game. But them ruling out, like, Reggie and Marcus, I guess, who's like actually injured, but like Reggie as well, on top of all the other guys, was just like, you know, they weren't even trying to win this one. Even they didn't even take a stab at winning this one. So I'm guessing they feel pretty good about how their team looks. I guess, so if anything, this maybe is a look in the right direction, that they felt totally comfortable just giving this one away at this point in the season.
Yeah, I guess there's not terribly much to say. I'm going to say some stuff just because, like, I actually don't mind saying some of the young guys, even though I don't know if any of these guys, aside from Musa Diabate, I'm highest on Musa Diabate as far as the prospects of all these young guys. Jason Preston, I thought, showed good things. I think Jason Preston, if anything, is like a system point guard. If you could say that, he's as good as the players around him. And I think he could steer a ship okay if he was surrounded with a good cast, but that would be on a reserve level at best. His same thing as we've been used to saying about his lack of burst. He's just a really smart player, so you do wonder if that guy, if coupled with like a nice pick and roll type center, could be able to manufacture points and assists. So I'm gonna give Jason Preston like this year and probably next year to see before I just completely, you know, close the book on him. As of now, I don't expect him to be an NBA rotation guy, but you see the smarts there, so that's good. Musa was a +3 in 29 minutes, which is nice for him. And the Clippers, I want to say, held up pretty well in the second half. They outscored the Cavs in the second half, which was mostly the G League Clippers, so kudos to them. Brandon Boston Jr. started 0 for 5 and finished 9 for 19, and he's been shooting well from 3 in the NBA this year, which is a nice thing. So some small things. Amir Coffey remains to be an NBA player. I think we kind of all probably had that suspicion, even though his stats have been bad this year. So end of the road or the roster, stuff like that. I think those are fine things to note from this game. I think Amir Coffey is just an NBA player. I think that was reestablished today. And I'm still sad that he hasn't gotten a great consistent chance on this Clipper team, but I don't really hold much credence into the fact that his splits are terrible this year. I think that this has just been a bad roster for him to have to deal with. He's had some ins and outs. He's had some, you know, big plays in a few games earlier this season when he was getting minutes over Robert Covington. So it's not like Amir hasn't had a couple of nice games for the Clippers where he's helped them win a couple of games, but it's nice to see him play well today. It was nice to see him have some bursts, get to the rim, get a couple of assists, get some shots. It was nice to see him out there. I mean, that's really all I have to say. We didn't see much from the rotation. There was really much to see at all from the rotation. Oh, Moses Brown also had 13 and 16. And again, some of the most needless stats I've seen from a player, but that happened. So, you know, I don't take terribly much from this, but as somebody who keeps an eye on the Ontario Clippers a little bit more than some people do, it was nice to see them collectively essentially play pretty well out there. So that's nice to see. The Cavs remained very good. They felt like they were kind of just half on the gas the whole game. Big fan of the Darius Garland, Donovan Mitchell combination. I think when we did our Patreon, those guys both made my East All-Star team. So I don't have terribly much else to say about. Do you take much from the Cavs out there? Were there?
Not at all.
Yeah.
No. The Cavs are really good. I mean, I think the Cavs have a chance to win. I don't know if they have enough to win the championship. They could make the conference finals. You know what? Maybe they could win the championship. I think they have one more move to make. You know, Chetty Osmond had a really good game. I don't know if he's like a starting small forward level guy.
7 of 7 from 3 for Chetty Osmond.
I don't think Isaac Okoro is that guy. I don't think Dean Wade or Lamar Stevens or Caris LeVert is that guy. I think they need to consolidate a few of those players into like a better wing. I know they moved almost all their assets for Mitchell, and that move has obviously paid huge dividends. But yeah, I mean, if they can scrounge together like some seconds and a couple of those players to get a consolidate to a better wing, I think that could be the last piece. I just don't know if they have like a starting small forward or wing level player on their roster. But yeah, that's really, I mean, that wasn't a takeaway from this game. That was just in general. But no, I nothing from this game. And honestly, the Amir thing, it actually felt worse that he played so much in this game, because it's like he's buried so deep in Ty Lue's rotation that they didn't even care. It was like, play 38 minutes, Amir, like you're not going to be playing. He fouled out of this game, which is incredible.
He did. I mean, we knew that coming into the season that he was going to be scrounging for minutes. I think there was maybe a slight chance of upside based off of last year that maybe he could find some minutes if he tried hard enough. But for a guard, after they acquired John Wall and just have continued to play him until he got injured, it was just going to be hard for Amir. And he actually did play some minutes over Roko like early on in the season. So, yeah.
Yeah, nothing else to say. Terrible game. I hated watching it.
Preston, Diabate, nothing? Yeah, nothing. Diabate?
No.
Diabate?
No. I mean, this is in a game like this, it's really
1 for 2
so
from 3 for Diabate. No threes for Zoo attempted.
Him taking
1 for
the
2.
Corner threes was kind of cool.
Yeah.
The shot looked okay. I mean, he was wide open, and you know, it's a garbage time game with no pressure. I mean, the shot looked okay. I'm glad that he took it. I mean, I would have liked to have seen more of that kind of experimentation. Like, I really would love to see, you know, Jason Preston take one. I mean, he took 12 shots in 36 minutes, which isn't like awful. It's not like a ton for like a ball handler. I know he's more of a setup guy. He missed all three of his threes. I don't think any of them were like true, like off the dribble. I would like to see him, like, this would have been a great game for me to see him just chuck like 7-8 threes.
Good stuff in the paint for Preston, which he was kind of touted to be a nice paint float guy from college.
I mean, I didn't, I think they all, Boston, he ended with a nice looking box score. He was 0 of 8 at one point. When the game even slightly sort of was, you know, in balance, he was terrible. And accumulated about all of his points, I think, in the utter garbage time that was the second half. Yeah, none of them really stood out. I mean, I don't think any of them was particularly bad or particularly good. Yeah, I mean, it was good that they got a chance. I mean, it might be some of their like career highs ever. Like Jason Preston might be out of the NBA after this year. Like him getting 12 points and 8 assists, that might be the best NBA box score he ever has. Boston has had bigger ones, but still 24 points. You know, Musa with 12 and 5.
I want to say that's probably his first 20 plus game since Boston, probably
last year. Yeah, it has to be. Yes. Mm. So, like, I mean, I'm happy for all those guys. They got a ton of run in the NBA. They got to put up some stats, but I take zero away in terms of how they looked or played.
Yeah. I mean, like I had some positive tweets on Twitter about Jason Preston. I still don't think he is going to exactly be a rotation player, but there's some stuff there as far as his headiness that could maybe get him somewhere if he continues to kill it in the G League. He's been playing well in the G League, and that's the first start. So Musa Diabate continues to be the guy, but I think his NBA run has shown that he's not ready on offense particularly, and often he kind of slips on defense. So I'm excited for Musa Diabate, don't get me wrong, but I think the clamoring for him to get backup center minutes from some, you know, fans and even some media has kind of cooled down these last few games. He has a lot of nice upside, but I don't think he's quite ready, especially on a team that, you know, touts themselves a championship contender. You're going to want to get somebody a little bit steadier as your 7-footer. It's a nice look for the switch everything stuff, but I think he's just a year or two early, and that's okay. I think that it's a little too much to expect this guy, second rounder, to just be a first year contributor. But I think next year he could be, and that's more than I thought I would ever say.
To be clear, the only reason I was even semi calling for him to play is because I would rather have him played over Moses Brown, who we know definitively is not an NBA player. Like with Musa, there's the chance he could be an NBA player. And I would take that over Moses Brown, who's terrible and has very, 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 very hard caps on any upside because of just his limitations. But yeah, I mean, I still cannot believe the Clippers didn't go into the season with a better backup center than either of them. It remains baffling.
The Portland game was so exciting just because Moses Brown is so, so, so bad. So Musa contributed really heavily to that Portland win. So shout out to him. That's more than I thought he would. And I'm excited to watch his development and him continue to dominate in the G League. He's had multiple 2020s. So hopefully he can keep seeing that. We might see some of him because they've been saving his games and we still don't have that backup 7-footer. But I'm guessing we're going to get one way or the other within hopefully this next month or so. Let's take a quick break and talk a little bit about the game that mattered yesterday against the Atlanta Hawks after this. All right, and we're back. So, Rob, let's talk a little bit about that game yesterday, or when people hear this on Saturday, against the Atlanta Hawks in Atlanta, 120-113. We, of course, all remember, I believe, the sixth game and the six-game losing streak at home was a loss to Atlanta when the Clippers were up something like 11 or 12 with like 6 minutes left.
Oh, it's a tough one.
And then collapsed real bad. That was a depressing game because I felt like Kawhi was really like balls to the wall and the Clippers still lost that game. Got floated to death by Trey at the end. I think he had one on Norm and then one on Terrence. But this game was a little bit different. The Clippers fell behind in the first to second quarter or so of the bench play and then made a nice run. And I felt like they were up pretty much the rest of the game pretty comfortably. Kawhi Leonard was fantastic. Let's just go right into medals to maybe frame how we're going to talk about this game a little bit. Who are your gold, silver, and bronze medals, Rob?
The unfortunate thing with medals, even though I do like the gimmick, is that when the Clippers win, it's usually Kawhi Leonard and Paul George getting the medals. Right. Kawhi Leonard, gold. Paul George, silver. Mm-hmm. I guess there could be a debate for bronze. I'll give it to Reggie. I think you could go with Nico or Terrence or Zoo. I'm going with Reggie. Just to quickly run through, I mean, Kawhi Leonard had 32 points, 12 of 20 shooting, 5 of 10 from 3,
10-3 rebounds, attacks.
4 assists to you know, 4 assists to 2 turnovers, PG, not super efficient scoring was 7 of 18. Was sizzling hot to start and then really cooled off after like the first quarter and a half or so. But still 23 points and 18 shots, not bad. 7 rebounds and 6 assists, again, to just 2 turnovers. So beautiful assist to turnover ratio, but for these Clipper stars, we'll take it. Yeah. And then Reggie, I mean, didn't really stuff the box score, but he had 16 points, 6 of 9 shooting, 4 of 7 3, had some great layups, really had some really key buckets to get the game kind of into the Clippers' key momentum swings, I guess. So yeah, those would be my three medalists. Again, I think you could make arguments for Zoo probably as the fourth guy. And then I thought Terrence and Nika both played pretty well.
Those are my guys too. I don't have terribly much more to say about that. Reggie Jackson's done really well finding his niche as the backup one. And, you know, they're doing well. They've been doing combinations of Reggie and Norm alongside, you know, essentially the best defensive wings the Clippers have on the team between Kawhi, Rocco, and Nico. When Rocco was playing, they've done some stuff. They've had Zoo in there and maintained some size, had Terrence back there. So they've done well not going to three small guards at all. Luke Kennard is starting now, Rob. We might as well talk about the rest of the rotation a little bit since the medalists kind of hit on these guys who've been pretty much playing the best on the team outside of Norm Powell, who's been a little colder recently, but he's been on a crazy hot streak. How do you feel about Luke Kennard starting? And how do you feel about when Marcus Morris comes back, what that's going to do to the rotation?
I still don't know. I don't really have a feel for what will happen when the Clippers are actually healthy. You could say with Wall or without Wall. I don't know if that will change at this point. I have a feeling that even when Wall returns, he will be out of the rotation if he's still on the team by then. When Morris comes back and Luke is healthy, I genuinely don't know. I think that I'm still fearful of Rocco being out of the rotation. I'm still, maybe just because I'm Eeyore-ing it, I'm still leaning on him being out, and the Clippers going with a second unit of Luke, Norm, Terrence, and Nico, and actually moving Reggie back to the starting lineup to balance the rotations a little bit better, and just because he's been playing better lately. I think they could also still start Luke. They could start Norm. I think they will have a guard in the starting lineup alongside, you know, Kawhi, PG, Luke, and Zoo. And then, you know, the usual of Nico, Norm, Terrence, Luke, whatever. I still don't think Rocco has permanently found his way into Tyloo's rotation. Maybe he has, and I'm just being sad and skeptical. That is what I kind of think will happen. And Rocco is still on the outside looking in, at least until a trade happens, if a trade happens. And I think John Wall will be out, even when he returns. Luke has been fairly unimpressive. This was his, I mean, if you count today's game against the Cavs, he played like 9 minutes. I don't take anything from it. Yeah. He had 11 points, 4 of 7 shooting, made all 3 of his threes against the Hawks. I still came away a little bit cold. He keeps passing up looks. There still isn't, like, it's the same thing that we thought coming into the year before he was so good to start the year. And I still, you know, I would need to go back and look. Like, I don't know, maybe our minds were playing tricks on us and, like, you know, maybe he wasn't really bad. That it made Luke just seem better by comparison. But it's the same issues that we had, you know, his previous years and that we thought coming into the year when he was kind of the odds on favorite to be out of the rotation.
Yeah.
Which is that, you know, Norm does a lot of what he does as a shooter, downhill driving, at least kind of a bigger, more physical defender. And I still, like, after those ups and downs where Luke was great to start the season and he was a little bit better defensively, he was a little bit more aggressive hunting for shot and creating his own looks. I feel like we're kind of back in that point again where it's like Reggie is a great catch and shoot guy. Norm is a great catch and shoot guy. Both those guys offer other stuff that Luke does not.
Yeah.
The Clippers don't want to play a ton of small guards, or at least they've finally come around to that way of thinking after like 45 games. I don't know. I think the tie values offense enough that Luke will still be in the rotation, but it would not shock me if when Marcus comes back that Luke is the odd man out either, and that the starting lineup remains Terrence, PG, Kawhi, Morris, Zoo with a bench of Reggie, Norm, Broko, Nico, which is how it was when Luke was out. That would not shock me either. I do still kind of think Ty leans towards guards and towards offense and shooting, which is why I'd go the other way. But Luke has been, he's been fine. He hasn't been bad. He's an amazing shooter. I will never say anything against his ability to shoot threes. He is one catch of the best three-point shooters in the NBA. Every time he shoots on a catch and shoot, I think he's going to make it. It's it's really an unbelievable skill. I just think the Clippers have a ton of other shooters. They can't play too many of their small guards. And yeah, I mean, I guess defenders would say, you know, play him over Reggie. Reggie's main asset is still the catch and shoot threes, and Luke is better there. Luke is a little bit bigger, a little bit better defensively.
Reggie takes the shots.
Well, Reggie will shoot more, and he does offer at least a little bit of the off the dribble bounce and passing.
Yeah.
Even if it's not where it was a couple years ago, even it's still more than Luke. So yeah, I don't know. I see the arguments both ways. I think Luke has been better than Reggie this year, but in terms of just skill set, I think Reggie's probably the better fit.
Yeah, you know, I kind of think that it's going to be Luke who starts, and Terrence might get benched just because Ty has already Ty has already been record saying that he doesn't want three guards out there. And if you have, you know, Luke, Norm and Reggie all on the bench, they're probably going to come in at similar enough times and overlap, or he'll cut somebody else out of the rotation, which I would be fine with, but I don't think Ty will do that because he showed, like you mentioned, a predisposition between start playing these guards. So, and Reggie Jackson also is the best playmaker, so I think he gives Paul George a nice reprieve, and Kawhi Leonard for that matter, a reprieve from just running pick and roll and having to be the guy they dump onto and just trying to find them in spots. You know, I don't think Kawhi is necessarily some guy that wants to do a lot of ball handling and pick and roll. He kind of wants to be found in his spot in the block. Paul George will be able to get on the block a few times too and be able to be in a triple threat out of the post with Reggie Jackson out there. And Reggie can also just run some pick and roll because he's been able to do that. And I don't feel confident in Luke Kennard or Norm Powell doing that consistently, or John Wall for that matter, sadly. You would think that would be the one thing that John would be able to do, but it just has not been there consistently. So I think Reggie still kind of fits. I think Reggie has shown that he fits as a starter, but then if you have Luke Kennard and Norm kind of playing alongside, you know, Paul George, I think, and Kawhi, I think it puts more onus on those guys to play make, and it's nice to give them a little bit of rest and just, or at least get them and as scorers rather than do it all playmakers. And George does enough of that with the starting unit with Terrence out there. So even now with Terrence out there and Luke, so I think Luke continues to start. I think there's good stuff offensively with Luke, so it'll help buoy the offense still, I suppose. The double stagger stuff with him popping, I feel like he'll be able to get some looks off of that just popping out when George runs it, or even when Kawhi runs it, and they ran that set quite a few times against the Hawks. Yeah, so if I had to pick one, I think Luke would start. I also think that there's a trade coming, so that hopefully will help fix this guard rut that we have, or this guard, you know, this glut of guards rather that we have, that will maybe take care of that a little bit. But if I had to say, if the Clippers stayed as is, I would think that Luke might continue to start. Terrence would come off the bench. Mook would start too, just because Ty has already said that the Marcus, you know, the Terrence Luke starting is probably a one-time thing because of Marcus Morris. And we know that Ty likes Marcus Morris. So I would love if Nico Batum started, if Luke Kennard starts, just because Nico has already showed an ability to even be an on-ball defender, and I don't want to burn Paul George or Kawhi Leonard out on the defensive end. So Nico would be great to start if they insisted on starting Luke, just so we had another defender to throw on difficult, you know, guards, or even just difficult scorers. But I think Marcus is holding on to that starting job.
So do you think you think Luke starts over Terrence? Do you think Roko is still on the rotation and the bench unit is Norm, Terrence, Roko, Nico? Or do you think it's Reggie, Norm, Terrence, Nico?
Let's take a quick break and then talk about that after this. All right, we're back. You know, I think Roko, so it's Terrence. So who's in, who's out in this?
Well, you just proposed Luke starting, or you think Ty will keep starting Luke.
I think so.
Obviously, I think at this point, Terrence is locked into the rotation. Norm is locked into the rotation. Nico, that's three. So do you think the ninth guy, because Ty Lue's only been playing a nine-man rotation this year, do you think the ninth guy will be Reggie or Rocco?
Yeah, you know, I would probably prefer it being Rocco, but
it won't be though. If that's what it comes to, it's not going to be.
Yeah, I mean, I think
I can already tell you if that's what it is, it's not going to be Rocco.
I mean, it would just be those 10 guys. I mean, if you could do maybe 10 guys and just split up the minutes a little bit more accordingly, take some minutes from Marcus, take some minutes from Nico for doing. It seems like we're just going small ball outside of these Zoom minutes, and I think Rocco should play during those minutes. So it would be nice if we just cut Marcus's minutes in, instead of him playing 30 plus minutes, he played 20 to 25 and gave Rocco those minutes. Though, it's frustrating because, you know, if I could do it, you know, I would say that Rocco should play every minute that we go small. And having Rocco, I mean, they've been doing this nice thing where they've had Rocco in there to close these first quarters with Kawhi, and then they bring Paul George in for Kawhi. If you keep Rocco in there, it'll maintain some size. And if Nico's coming off the bench, you can keep Rocco and Nico together, essentially, and just have them flank those small ball units. And then Zoo eventually comes in and can kind of replace one of them. It's just tough. It's tough. I would rather them just do that and cut everybody's minutes in a little bit rather than give Marcus a ton of these minutes that he's been seeing. I mean, I think Marcus is just going to wear down. And there might often just be an injury somewhere in there, you know, that that somebody, and they'll keep Rocco in the rotation. I think Rocco's done enough to show that he should be in the rotation right now.
I mean, I'm with you in that. I mean, I've been surprised that they haven't done a 10-man rotation more this year just because, I mean, their issue is they have too many guys.
Right.
And they've only been playing nine of them. Like, they could have had room for these guys, even if it was just like 10 minutes a game for Rocco. Like, they could have given him 10 minutes and shaved a little bit off of Zoo and Marcus, or, you know, Marcus and Nico or whoever. And they've chosen not to. At this point in the season, like, I don't think they're going to expand. Like, usually the rotation gets smaller as the season goes along. I'm with you. I mean, I would be totally fine with a 10-man rotation and a, you know, coming off the bench, even if they don't all play together, of like Reggie, Norm, Terrence, Nico, Rocco. And I think that unit actually kind of could work. It does have a decent amount of shooting, playmaking, defense. I mean, it's still fairly undersized. You'd hope like Terrence, Nico, Rocco is enough size and defense that it won't be too bad on that end. I'd be fine with it. I don't think that's what's going to happen. I also, I don't think Kaluka's going to start. I'd be kind of disappointed if he was, even though I think he's a great fit with the starters. I just think it's kind of the wrong group. And that's your point. I mean, I think Nico should start regardless, but it's just not going to happen.
Yeah, he's not. Who would you start? Would you keep?
I completely agree. I would start Terrence. Actually, no. I would go Reggie, PG, Kawhi, Nico, Zoo with a bench unit of Norm, Terrence, Nico, Rocco.
right.
Morris, Rocco. With Nico starting.
You know, I think Norm, Reggie, or Luke, whoever starts, it's not quite like interchangeable, but one of those guys probably just need to start to balance out the rotation. If one of those guys, we've seen Reggie have good synergy. I think Norm has some argument to start too because of his downhill juice and his ability to just kind of break up that offense a little bit.
They seem to really want to keep him off the bench though. I don't think Norm starts, even though I think that's very interesting and I would have tried it earlier. I think they want to keep him off the bench very specifically. So I think it's going to be Reggie or Luke.
That's what the vibe seems to be too. Yeah, but I think if Terrence is starting, it just throws everything off the rest of the rotation. And I like what I've seen from Terrence, but I think it's worthwhile just cooling down on a little bit of his start. I mean, we saw what happened today when Evan Mobley was guarding him. He just wasn't really doing much. And I think it's just hard to – he's not going to be the playmaker. He's essentially the off guard that has a little bit of juice, a little bit of activity, good transition play, good defense. His defense will be missed, which is why I want Nico to be starting. But I think that Terrence starting just kind of throws the rotation off a little bit. Unfortunately, but he still has, you know, upside. He could still close games for certain. It doesn't cap his minutes. I just think that he might be best off the bench just with how this rotation is. And I still think that there's going to be some sort of trade and hopefully consolidation type of deal where a couple of these guys are moved. So I'm hoping that's going to happen. But again, it's just too many guys. But yeah, I mean, that's kind of how I feel about the team. The team's been playing well, Rob. How are you feeling about this team right now? We know about the 5-game winning streak. They're fourth in the West right now. I believe they're still fourth in the West. I haven't checked on that Pelicans game, but I think it was a tough ask of that Pelicans team because they were out a lot of guys. I'll check on it as we go. How do you feel?
The Pelicans are down 14 right now, halfway through the fourth.
Okay,
they
good.
Could still win.
So they'll likely keep that position, hopefully, as a fourth seed. And the fact that they have a fourth seed, the Kings have been tumbling. You know, there is an off chance quicker than I expected that maybe they could get to that three seed. They have a couple of games against the Kings still. The Kings, we know, are fairly inexperienced and not the greatest defense and kind of a hot offense right now. You know, all things considered, where we were like a couple of weeks ago, where things just felt bad. The team was under 500, underperforming. Kawhi Leonard has continued his stretch. He's looked amazing. How are you feeling about the team in general right now?
I mean, much better than I was. My issues remain, though. If I were this team, I mean, all the reporting has said that they're focused on kind of upgrading their point guard spot and getting a backup center. And I think those are both fine. The point guard, I truly don't really get it. Like, I think there are guys out there who are obtainable, who are better than Reggie Jackson or John Wall. I just question the use of resources, though. Again, it depends on what the actual trade is. Like, if the trade is, you know, Reggie and Amir and one of the young guys for Mike Conley, like, I mean, it's not like a ton of assets are going the other way, but I don't know. The backup center is a must. Some way or another, they're going to need to get a center. I don't care if it's a buyout or a trade or whatever. They need another 7-footer on the roster. At this point, it's not going to be Moses Brown. If they liked him well enough, they would have converted him, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
And I mean, I just cannot imagine that they would want him to be the primary, you know, backup big man.
Yeah, he sucks.
It's not going to be Musa. That's really the main need. My wish would be that they're more aggressive in finding like an athletic forward to upgrade on who brings more defense and rebounding and just athleticism and pop to this
team. And it sounds like the Hawks are easing on trading John Collins.
And the Hornets are easing on Washington. PJ Washington, who is another target. Like those guys are not easy to come by because that's a valuable kind of player.
Right.
But there really hasn't been reporting that the Clippers are even looking at those guys. I think they've been kind of linked to Collins a couple of times, but nothing super strong.
Yeah.
I've questioned this team and who their targets are and what they think the needs of the team are almost every single trade deadline that they've had one. Last year was different because that team was just not competing really. But the year before that was the infamous Rondo trade. And the year before that was the Marcus Morris trade, which we've talked both those trades to death on here. I think both of them was a fundamental misreading of what the team needed and the situation. So I wouldn't be surprised if they did it again this year. And I'm not going to pretend that I know more basketball or, you know, am smarter than the people in this front office, but a lot of the times I don't get it. And I think, as reporting has hinted that, a lot of it is front office, is locker room and kind of player dynamics, where it seems like Kawhi Leonard in particular wants an upgraded point guard, and he's maybe been one of the main drivers behind the Rondo deal and the Wall signing. And if not him, then I think Paul George. Like, I think those guys have wanted some of these players. And the front office has kind of gone that way. Whether they've been aligned in that or not, I don't know. Either way, I don't think it's really needed. I'd be happy with Mike Conley or Kyle Lowry on the right price. I'd be pretty thrilled with Fred VanVleet, again, presuming the trade is not, you know, sending a ton of assets away. But I just don't know if those are really what the Clippers need. They're all old small guards, and the Clippers need like pop and athleticism.
So Rob, are you okay with a first for VanVleet? It sounds like that would be,
he would be the only one. A first for Conley or Lowry would be crazy.
Yeah, it would be a mistake. Yeah.
And even Fred VanVleet, like, he's small and the Clippers are going to have to pay him. But I mean, I think he was an all-star last year. He's not that old.
He's good.
And he's much better defensively. Like, he's a small guard, but he's good defensively.
Mm-hmm.
I would trade a first for him. I wouldn't be super happy about it. I would hope that it wouldn't be like a first and Luke. Definitely not a first and Terrence. I would hope not a first and Luke. It probably would be.
I'm
but
fine with that, honestly.
It would be okay. Like, a first Luke and one of Reggie or Wall is an equitable enough trade for me. Consulting the guards, getting like a true kind of lead guard option. I don't think it's going to be VanVleet. I think it will come down to like Conley, or it seems like Lowry might not get traded now either. I don't buy for a second the Chris Paul trade rumors. That's not going to happen. It's especially not going to happen with the Clippers. I don't agree with the front offices. If this is who they're really targeting, I just don't get it. Really, it could help them this year. It really could. Like, again, swapping, getting an upgrade at point guard and losing maybe a little bit of depth is an overall, it's an improvement, but I just don't think that's what really this team needs. I still, you know, if they add Conley, I still think they're going to be old and slow and unathletic. So,
yeah, Conley to me is just a better Reggie Jackson. VanVleet is a starter. Conley, I think, would be a bench guy.
Yeah.
And Lowry would also be probably a bench guy.
I think Lowry would start.
Yeah, he would, but if he deserves to, I don't know. But he probably would start. I think Conley would probably have an argument to start, but I think he's, again, just a better version of Reggie. Same kind of role with maybe some upside to close. A decent enough team defender, at least. So both those guys have been in big games. Lowry with Kawhi. So we'll see. I'm very curious to what happens. I think this team obviously still needs a sort of a move because there are too many guys, but the roster as is has done well to rebound. I mean, if they end up with a third seed, I'll be flabbergasted a bit, but it seems like a possibility. And if they end up with the fourth seed, which they are right now, I'll also be kind of surprised considering where they were. Thanks a lot to the Pels and the Kings for slipping a bit, but there's a long season. The Clippers have a tough schedule. At least they'll be having some rest, few back-to-backs. This next stretch is going to be brutal through the All-Star break. But after that, there's going to be a bit more rest. There's no back-to-backs until March. So there's some good things coming up here. Kawhi Leonard looks elite again, which I think is the biggest takeaway from the season thus far. And I think that'll do
Rob. Yeah. That plays into, and I've said this before, but like I just, Kawhi looking elite to me should be more of a pressure to make like a true chips in move. Like, how many more seasons you're going to have with him at this level. And like, he does look like a top 10, certainly probably top 5 level guy. Like, you have to give yourself the best chance you can to win with those guys every year. Like, if we make fun of the Lakers for not doing the same thing with LeBron and AD, like, you know, we should be just as tough on the Clippers front office. And like, they should not be content to just add like Gorgie Jang or Derek Favors or Dwight Howard or somebody, or make a trade for like, I don't know, like, you know, Nerlens Noel or Rishon Holmes. Like, I mean, the Clippers have bigger needs than that. And like, I think this roster is good. I was never that worried about them like being in the play-in. I always thought they'd probably end up in like, you know, 5 or 6, 3 or 4 would be a bit better than I was thinking. But I mean, there's still work to be done on this roster. And I really hope that they're not sitting on their laurels. And I also really hope they don't trade a lot for a small point guard when I think they could be making more of a win now push in other areas.
Yeah. You know, the Clippers were a 4 seed when they made the Western Conference Finals. Yeah. They're a 4 seed now. They do have a tough schedule, but if you're assuming, you're hoping, I think we're all hoping, if there's a big injury, I think the Clippers are sunk as far as their stars go. But if you're thinking that Kawhi Leonard and Paul George will be relatively healthy, and Paul George had a freaking windmill dunk the other day, I think his hamstring's doing better. Yeah. Kawhi has looked great. I'm with that. I think I heard you and Lucas, and we've talked about it in chat a little bit. Lucas talking a little bit about maybe this is a wait and see and hold on to your assets type of year. Screw that. If Kawhi Leonard is healthy this playoffs, how
many
playoffs?
And the West is wide open.
Open. I mean, the second seed there, you know, the second and third seeds are the Grizzlies and the freaking Kings, man. I'm not, no offense to those teams, great seasons. I'm not afraid of either of them. And the Nuggets I'm afraid of, but even the Nuggets are not a particularly imposing first seed, you know? So yeah. I know they've had the Clippers numbers, but again, they're not the Warriors with Kevin Durant. So I just think that if you have Kawhi Leonard and he's healthy in the playoffs and you're just like, oh yeah, we could have used another guy, there's no guarantee that's going to happen again next year. There's no, you know, if you had to take an over under on playoffs after this year that Kawhi Leonard is going to be healthy at, and I say 2, I mean, you might just say that's, you know, you might go even. You don't know how many more elite Kawhi Leonard playoffs runs we're going to have. So I would go all in. I would make a deal. I wouldn't save the picks to have 2 first rounders for a big, you know, third all-star type package in the summer where we could really get over the hump now if we make a deal and kind of dangle that first rounder. I understand that they're not huge, huge options, maybe. But I don't think this Clipper team needs huge options at that. I think they need, like you said, a little bit of pop, a little bit of athleticism, just an athlete. If they had any sort of athlete that could even share the third role with whoever the hell, like Norm, Reggie, whoever's going, you know, I think it would make a big difference just loosening up this offense a bit and carrying some of those stretches where Kawhi or Paul George might be off. And loose rotations have been great recently. So I'm hoping we see more of that. I'm hoping we see some more wins. And thank you guys all for listening. Give us a nice 5-star review, whatever platform this is on. 5 stars really helps. And nice words too. We'll read them on the air. We're close to 100 reviews. So and on Apple. So bring them in. And as always, go Clippers.